Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray.
O Lord, we ask that you bring glory and honor through your word, by your spirit. Bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus. Take these words, Lord, and use them in his name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, we know that Christmas is certainly about the Lord and the incarnation. But on the off chance that, maybe every now and then you think about Charlie Brown, here's a good quote that I read. Charlie Brown said, "Sometimes I lay awake at night and think, where did I go wrong? And then a voice comes out of the darkness and says, that's going to take more than one night." Well, that's not related to what I have to say at all, but I just like that quote. We're talking about the angels of Advent, and the Christmas story unfolds with four appearances of angels. And the first was to Zechariah. You remember a few weeks ago we looked at that, and Zechariah is in the temple offering the incense. It's his watch. He's on duty with the priests. And there has been 400 years of silence. No word from God. No vision. No word from a prophet. Nothing at all. 400 years the people have been praying and waiting and watching for the Messiah. Zechariah himself and his wife have spent much time praying for a child. Well, those days are past, that ship has sailed, and Zechariah probably doesn't pray that prayer anymore or doesn't even remember what it was about. And then the silence is broken. Gabriel appears and says, "Do not be afraid. your prayers have been heard, not forgotten. You've been heard, you have not been forgotten, is the first words that come after all of those years, the first words that the angels speak, the first message of Advent, your prayers have been heard. And we looked at how great amount of comfort those words bring. God remembers. We like to remember things, right? We remember things. We celebrate birthdays. We remember anniversaries. We remember a lot of happy occasions. And we also, you know, we also mark the sad ones. We remember things. And we remember the sad times. And, you know, in my own life, there are people who still to this day, 12 years later, after a tragedy in my life, people will send me a card that time of the year after 12 years, and they'll say, we remember what happened. We remember. We pray for you. And it's comforting, isn't it? It's touching when people, to be remembered like that. The psalmist said that to the Lord, you record my lamentations, put my tears into your bottle. Are not these things noted in your book? Are not these things noted in your book? It's touching to be remembered, and God remembers. God hears. Well, for the second sermon on the Advent angels, I'd like to read, when, of course, this is a very well-known story to you. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Nothing will be impossible with God. So how do you take this text, the virgin birth? I mean, this has rings down through history. So there's so much said about it, so much written about it. It is such an event that, you know, whole sections of Christianity are divided over what they believe about Mary and how they remember her. How do you take something like this and just put it in a short sermon? Well, I'm just going to take one part of that and deal with the first words, with what the angel said to Mary. And, of course, fear is a part of it again, right? Do not be afraid. Every time that there is an announcement during this Advent season, part of it is do not be afraid. And, you know, there's a lot that we could say about that, but I think sometimes we have a danger of being too familiar with the Holy One, too familiar with God, with the things of God. There's a danger in not being afraid of His holiness. And we say, well, we all sin, right? And Jesus is the friend of the sinners. And so we just hang out with Jesus. And we be friends with Jesus. But That's not really true, totally true. We know that any time that God is there, any time that God comes, Old Testament or New Testament, think of the Apostle John. And he hung out with Jesus for 3 years, right? And yet in the book of Revelation, Jesus appears to John and John sees him and John says, I fell at his feet as though dead. It's fearful. It's a fearful thing to be in the presence of a holy God. And I think that it's good to remember that. But as we go to these first words of the angel, I read this week, I was reading a series by David Roseberry, and he writes his Advent series, and he pointed out something that, excuse me, I had never noticed before, really, because I was going to title this sermon Something Else. We went from God Has Heard and Not Forgotten, and I was going to go another direction with it, but he pointed out something that I had never noticed. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, what does that mean? You know, I just passed over that. O favored one. Well, it sort of sounds like, you know, I've been watching you, and you're doing a good job. Really, you are. You're a nice person, and you work hard. You're very conscientious. And you do the right things, you say the right things, and it's just, I've had my eye on you, and I sort of like you, you know? I sort of want to help you out. I mean, what have you thought when you heard that? Favored one. Well, that's not it at all. And the word is a rare word used there. Kata hara tomene. It's not used anywhere else. And for you people that love the grammar, it's a perfect passive participle. It's exciting news to you, right? For some of you. Perfect passive participle. What does that mean? It is an action that is already finished. It means something that has happened and it's done. It's finished. There's nothing you can do. You actually have no role to play, no part in it. This has just come along, and Mary, you have been graced. You've been graced. It's like you're standing there and all of a sudden, pow, grace. You've been graced. You didn't do anything, Mary, to earn it. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing any of us can do. And it hits you. It's an action that comes and it hits you and it's done. It's complete. You've been graced, the angel tells her. You've been graced. What does that mean, to be graced? For Mary and for us. What happens when you're graced? Well, we already talked about the fear aspect of it, the holiness of God, to be in the presence of God, and what that does. But there's also the comfort. There's also, God has found favor with you. You are graced, and the Lord is with you. There's the presence of God. The Lord is with you, Mary. And for those who are graced, you're not alone. What else does it mean to be graced? Well, I think we could say that when you're graced, when Mary was graced, it's going to disrupt your life. Right? Mary's life, change at all? Any disruption there? You think, look what happened. when God graced her life and when God graces a life. Sometimes things get shaken up a bit, don't they? Sometimes a little change, but sometimes a really big change. Some of you could speak to that, about how the Lord has changed your life and where you were, what you were doing when you were graced by God with the gospel. It's a disruption in Mary's life, in our life. It shakes things up, and you don't know where he might lead you. I'm sure for Mary, boy, her plans changed, right? It's a disruption. It's also a responsibility that comes with it. In some regards, it seems as though Mary has a decision to make. The angel tells her this. He doesn't say, well, let me tell you, Mary, this is what's going to happen. You're graced, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And so that's it. Nothing you can do about it. Get going. But as I read it, it seems as though Mary has a decision that she has a role in it. She says, let it be as you said. She has a responsibility when this grace hits her like it does. Of course, the big responsibility is the mother of the Christ child. But decisions and responsibility come into her life because she's graced that she never would have had before. There's great joy, but there's also pain. We may think that come to Jesus and it all works out, answers all our prayers, everything's a bed of roses, no problems for Christians. But what, 8 days later when they take him into the temple to be circumcised, what does Simeon tell Mary? The sword will pierce your soul. Yes, Mary, you've been graced. Life is different. But there's going to be some pain. It's going to be some sorrow with this. And finally, I want to focus on these words from Gabriel. He tells her that this is going to happen. And Mary, you know, she's young. And she knows the facts of life, right? She knows how things work. And so she says, I'm going to have a baby. Never been with a man. How's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? And Gabriel doesn't give her an explanation. There's not really like a biology lesson. Well, you know, Mary, you've got an embryo, and then you've got this, and this happens, and that happens, and none of that, really. Because there is no explanation to this. The King James in Genesis talks about the seed of the woman. Well, that's not biology, is it? How will this be? And the angel says, nothing will be impossible with God. And that's a statement about God. That's his nature. That's who he is. That's what it means to be graced. To be linked with the one who does the impossible. He does the impossible because of who he is, because of his nature. A literal reading of that is nothing will be impossible with God. No, a literal reading, some would say, is there, no word from God is without power. No word from God is without power. The word, John says, became flesh and dwelt among us. When God speaks, things change. When he speaks into the world, right? Genesis chapter 1, let there be light. When he speaks into the world, things happen, things change, things are renewed. When he speaks into the human heart, when he speaks into a life, that life changes. When he speaks into a situation, it changes. And so we have Mary. Young, teenage Mary is with child. But this is not just any child. This isn't an Isaac or a Samson or even a John the Baptist, right? I mean, this is impossible. People today still argue about that word. Well, that word virgin, that means young woman. That doesn't mean not without a man. And you have a whole genre of liberal Christians, even in theology, that will still fight about that word, virgin. The Old Testament, Isaiah says, uses the word, and he's saying young woman. But this is the impossible. The eternal God, the one who created all things were created for him. All things were held together by him. And he is in her womb. How can it be? To be graced, to be graced is to be the child of someone, of a God who does the impossible. How could we ever doubt what he could do in our lives? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.